If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Watch what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, Romans 7 verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin unless there was a law. That's an important concept. You would not know what is wrong unless there's a law. So the law is not bad, but it lacks life. It tells you what you should not or could not do, but it doesn't tell you what you can do. So Paul is saying here, just like Jesus, the law is not bad. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I would not have known sin if it wasn't for the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And what is covetousness? Covetousness is what your eyes see and your minds desire. All major sin starts with covetousness. You sit in your office and you think, I need some legal pads at home. And they got a whole closet full of them. So you just take one out a day. You have pens at home with your company's logo on there, and, you know, the cups with your company's logo on there that you did not pay for or were not given to you. You stole. And no thief has eternal life abiding in them. Take them back tomorrow. And if you're wondering, why don't I feel the presence of God? Because you stole. You have a house full of stolen goods. And every time you walk in, that demonic force that caused you to do that is resident there because you've given him a doorway. And whenever the devil has a doorway, you can't cast him out. You can have the entire intercessory team from this church come to your house and anoint every wall with sacred oil. But as long as you have those stolen goods in your house, that demon says, you can't move me. I got a right to be here. This house is a house full of ungodliness. Every time you watch pornography on a computer or on your television through the cable networks or the satellite, you are saying to the devil, come on in, sit down, and as long as I watch that, you have a right to my house. That means that you have poisoned not only your own life, but everybody who lives there. Because he has a legal right. You can't throw him out and then re-invite him when you're watching something else that appears to be innocent, but then you begin to feel an oppressiveness in your house. How does that come? Because we're not fulfilling Romans 6. We're not coming out from among them and separating ourselves. This is the reason why our forefathers said, don't watch TV, don't go to the movies, don't do this and don't do that. Yes, we make light of it now for a number of reasons, but I'm beginning to understand the reason that they said it was because we were incapable of drawing the proper boundaries. And now even cartoons are lustful. So at some point, child of God, you may have to draw a line that you do not wish to draw, which is no television. Can't even watch Christian stations anymore. Oh, my amens died. I ain't giving up my TV. You want a 78-inch TV. That's right. I don't have to watch it. I like this. The King James says, but sin, verse 8, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of evil thinking. Lust. Concupiscence is lust. And lust is evil thinking. But what does he mean? But sin taking advantage of the commandment. That means that there are things that you want to do. Well, let me rephrase. There are things that you don't do because you don't know they're wrong. But the moment you find out they're wrong, there's this desire to do them, because sin is revived when a commandment is given. Because sin likes to go beyond the limitation. Sin pushes the limits of God's grace. God said, come out from among them and be separate. And here's what sin says, but you ain't doing what they're doing. So it's all right to hang with them. I mean, it's only a retirement dinner. I can't help it that they're having it in a bar. I'm not drinking. But you used to drink. And now you put yourself back into that environment, and your soul now has been reinvigorated. I was at a restaurant once, and the server came over to take my order. And I said, I'll have a virgin rum and Diet Coke. But see how you all just became, you know, kind of, what's a virgin rum and Diet Coke? Bishop had rum and Coke. Diet Coke. No. Because most of us think negative. Now, why do you do that? You weren't born thinking negative. You were born thinking that whatever you said would come to pass. You know how you knew? Because every time you cried, your parents came to see about you. They were there as soon as you cried till they began to realize you were a liar. Wasn't anything wrong with you, so they just popped your thighs and went on back to what they were doing. But you grew up saying, my mama gonna take care of me, my daddy's gonna do so and so. But then when you became an adult, you were surrounded by other adults. You began to adopt their philosophy. I told you the story of the nightingale, one of the most beautiful singing birds God has ever made. But when they're born, they're only born with one note. They can only sing one note. Then how does he get his song? By hanging around other notes. So the song of the nightingale is mimicked. Your life is mimicked. When's the last time anybody ever brought you a positive word of encouragement? You're doing great. I know you've had some setbacks, but I marvel at the grace of God in your life, and you are going to make it. Can you imagine living your life without positive reinforcement? What do you think your soul is going to spit out? Let's go further. Paul says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. In other words, I did whatever I wanted to do until I was presented with boundaries. And the moment the boundaries came, I began to think, something's wrong with me. Sin revived. I died. And now the truth is that the commandment reminds me that I'm really no good. The heart is desperately wicked. It does not seek after God. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Sin deceived me. It was in there, but I didn't know it was there until a commandment came. Some folks don't know they're rebellious until we are given instruction that all leaders have to come to service on Sunday. All of a sudden, I ain't coming to service all the time. Where'd that come from? When a commandment is given, the heart is exposed. When a commandment is given, the heart is exposed. I want you to submit to so-and-so. This person is going to be your leader. I don't think so. They can't be over me. No, they can't, but it's not because of them. And why do you think God would put that person over you? Not because they need their ego stroked, but to show us that sin is in us. Listen to this. The law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. That sounds like a whole lot of double talk. But here's what Paul is saying. Sin is resident in me. I don't know it's there until a commandment is given. The moment the commandment is given, sin fights against the commandment. That's when I know sin is there, by my inability to give in to the commandment. I ain't stopping at that red light. I know the speed limit is 65, but I'm in a hurry. Whenever sin is committed, it brings with it justification. Where does it come from? The soul, the heart. If you notice that Jesus said, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. As I examined this passage, I began to find they all had a common link, and that was when these things are committed, they are usually followed by an excuse. When the man or woman falls into adultery, there comes an excuse. Well, you know, my spouse don't understand me. They don't treat me right. Why are there always excuses for these types of sins? Because the soul is looking to justify what it feels. The soul will lead you anywhere. I tell you, there are times I can sit there counseling somebody, and I'll sit there talking to them, and they're just going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I sit there, and I'm at the end of my limit. I'm there. I'm finished because I don't have a very long attention span. And I'll sit there and think, I wonder what it would feel like to take this letter opener. And I'm just going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I said, and just stick it right in their ear. Now, you say, oh, well, Pastor, how can you think that way? I'm not. Because murder doesn't come from my mind. Jesus said it comes from my heart, my soul.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10215A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.